Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation Conference Committee. We will have several items on the agenda today. As Chair Newman and I discussed last time, I wanted to set aside a little bit of time today to talk a little about the issue of driver's license for all, similar to what we did with the deputy registrars last time. It's a big issue, but not necessarily one that we'll take immediate action on in our committee, but it's certainly an issue that is before the Transportation Committee, and so we wanted to just talk about it. We're not going to have public testimony, but what I will do is share a few stories of people affected by this issue, and then we can have any kind of discussion the committee wants. And then after that, we'll take entertain the motion that we were going to do yesterday with maybe a minor revision, and then we will adjourn. So I don't anticipate a long meeting. And then tomorrow, Senator Newman will have the gavel, and we'll dive into some of the other many issues that we're close on. I think that we'll get some agreement on, but there are issues that need clarification and need a little bit more time for discussion and possibly even testimony. So that's the plan here for today and for tomorrow. So members, I did want to spend a little bit of time today talking about the issue of driver's license for all. It's been something that we've spent quite a bit of time on the House side. House File 1500 is incorporated in the House side by side. This is Representative Winkler's bill. It went through the committee process. It was passed off the House floor. And in your packets, you will find a lot of correspondence that we've had about this bill from the business community, the faith community, law enforcement. There's letters of support from the Chamber of Commerce, the Minnesota Milk Producers, the Agri-Growth Council, Hospitality Minnesota, for example. We have, again, a whole packet from the faith community. I think of particular note are a letter from the Catholic bishops and the evangelical community. And then we also have a number of municipal and law enforcement letters. So those are all in your packet. Again, we have law enforcement from Red Wing, from Wilmer, Scott County Sheriff's Office, Shakopee Police Departments, Worthington Public Safety, Winona County Sheriff's Office, et cetera. And among the faith communities, the Basilica of St. Mary and Ascension Church have a letter with many, many names of individual clergy, the Isaiah Organization, First United Church in Little Falls. Again, I would just ask the committee to take a look at these. And then, of course, as I referenced earlier, very strong support from the business community, including the Chamber of Commerce. I think the Chamber and business community are talking about the issue of employment and workforce implications of this bill. I think the faith community is talking about the sort of the moral imperative for it, and then law enforcement talking about the public safety aspects of this bill. But for me, there's a human story to this. We heard a lot of testimony from individuals who were impacted, there were some very heart-wrenching moments. Particularly, in the Transportation Committee when we heard this bill over several hours. And I just very briefly, members, wanted to just bring those voices here to this hearing and just read briefly just several stories of people who are directly affected by this issue and just to have their voices. Again, we're not having formal testimony. I just wanted to read, a few paragraphs from these Minnesotans that are affected by this. So I'll do that, and then if there's questions or anyone wants to make any statements or discuss, we can do that. So this first one is from Alidia, who lives in St. Peter. Her husband, Luis, works on a dairy farm in Blue Earth County. They welcomed their first baby in April 2018. Neither Alidia nor her husband have a driver's license. They drive to Mankato for their checkups and appointments. They worry about medical care and checkups for their new baby during, of course, these Minnesota winters. They keep hoping for a growing, healthy baby because that means they can stay in their local clinic and birth center in Mankato. However, this 20-minute routine commute for most Minnesotans become a high-level stressor for an immigrant family with a new baby in greater Minnesota. Without access to public transit, families like Alidia's have not many choices. And reminds me of a conversation I had with an individual named Raphael after a meeting in South Minneapolis early this year, and he related to me that just dropping off his child at school is something where he feels that he's in tremendous jeopardy. Something that we take for granted, as simple as that, again, becomes a very stressful situation for these individuals. This next one is from Waweru, a 45-year-old immigrant from Kenya who's lived in Minnesota for 20 years. He shares that not having a driver's license has left him feeling demeaned and without dignity. He says life has not been an easy thing in a small town in Minnesota as an immigrant without a driver's license. I've lived in St. Cloud and Mankato. Today I live in Plymouth. All three are cities with minimal public transit. I spend a third of my income paying for transportation. He writes that if one works evenings or overnight like I did, then a taxi is your only option. In a small town, one has to call and book a taxi way ahead of time, and even then it's unreliable. Uber and Lyft are not in heavy rotation like they are in larger cities. It's not uncommon to pay between $20 and $50 for a one-way ride, and of course a premium if you cannot find another way into the Twin Cities. And so he writes, when I don't have money to take a taxi, and this is often, I have to walk for miles from school and work. Imagine doing this in winter. My safety and that of others is always compromised. And he concludes, for the safety of all Minnesotans on the road, we urge you to restore driver's license for all. And then finally, I want to share a brief story from Jenny Srey, who works at a Southeast Asian organization and works quite a bit on immigration issues. And she wants to share how her community is impacted by not having access to driver's license. She writes, my family came to the U.S. in the late 70s and early 80s during the aftermath of the Southeast Asian wars. Many of our family members died or were lost. I was 4 years old when we found and reunited with my grandpa, 12 years old when we found and reunited with my half-brother and sister, 20 years old when we found our aunt and uncle and five cousins living in Cambodia. And, of course, people are familiar with the genocide that took place in Cambodia. They were struggling out there, and so when we got the chance to reunite with them, we were so happy. I grew up with my family members clinging to each other, afraid to let go and be separated again. I live in Farmington, Minnesota, and not a day goes by that I don't see or talk to at least one of my seven siblings or 15 cousins. Family is one of our core values. For us, the commute to see family is normal and ordinary. However, for a member of my family and many people in our community, movement is limited. The fear of not having a driver's license prevents them from having opportunities to support their family and to contribute to Minnesota's economy. The Asian population is more than undocumented population is more than tripled within 15 years. According to the latest available estimates, there are 1.7 million Asian undocumented immigrants in the United States. That's one out of every six undocumented immigrants. This also means about one out of every seven Asian immigrants is, one out of six are undocumented. In Minnesota, there's approximately 20,000 undocumented APIs. This is an issue for the Asian community, for the Latinx community, for the African community. Many, many aspiring citizens in the state of Minnesota are impacted. So she concludes, Minnesota needs to support families. Not having a driver's license keeps loved ones apart, creates challenges around checking on elderly family members, school pickups and drop-offs, as well as doctor's visits. So this is a common theme, and I believe, again, a quality of life and public safety issue. You know, I will just say one last thing, Mr. Chair, and I've shared this particular story with the House on the floor, so for the House members, you've heard this, you can do other things. But for the senators and others who might not have heard it, I'll just be very brief. But it's really why I feel so strongly about this issue personally. And I've shared a little of this with Senator Dooman as well. So, you know, I'm the son of immigrants. My parents were war refugees. They survived the Nazi Holocaust. Incredible stories that they tell. It's a miracle to me that they're here, or they were here and that I'm here. And they, through the largesse of the United States military, actually, were able to get to Heidelberg, Germany after the war, and they received a medical education there, and then came to the United States from Germany. And, you know, I asked my parents at one time, how did you wind up in Ohio? Why did you come to Cincinnati, which is not normally a gateway for immigrants? And they said, well, in Ohio it was a little easier for us to, as immigrants, to practice medicine. There was less red tape, there was less bureaucracy. Ohio welcomed us. And I think they made Ohio and my community, my hometown, a better place for that. And the other immigrants that came with them, physicians that were Holocaust survivors, made it a better place. And so I think immigrants improve the quality of life for everybody. And I think this is just a simple matter of public safety. If we have drivers that have insurance, if we have drivers that have passed the driver's test, that will make our roads safer and make our communities more welcoming. And it's a personal issue for me for that reason. So, members, with that, I would be happy to, if anyone wants to say anything or discuss this, we can, and then we can move on to our agenda. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that presentation. I recognize that this is a very, very important issue to an awful lot of folks, and I thank you for putting into our packets the various items of information that I will take with me, and I fully intend to read and share with some of my colleagues in the Senate. I also want to acknowledge that Chairman Hornstein and I have, in fact, shared the story of his family coming to the United States. I frankly find it fascinating on the one hand, and I don't know if terrible is on the, is the right word, but just the fact that your family is here. In particular, the story that you shared with me regarding the Hornstein-Ornstein connection in Boston, I think is just absolutely fascinating and a perfect example of the value of immigrants to the United States. So, again, Mr. Chairman, I do thank you for that that story and sharing it with me. It's very important. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your comments. Any other thoughts that members want to share? Okay. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to lend my voice to your voice in support of passing the driver's license for all measure. You know, we're not going to move on that today or necessarily in this conference committee, but I appreciate the opportunity to speak to it because, of course, it's a provision included on the House side. I really would commend and encourage the members to take these packets home and read them. They're very persuasive on the practical elements of enacting this policy. You know, I think in particular, if you look at the piece that is signed by the Chamber of Commerce, Minnesota Milk, Hospitality Minnesota, another a number of other business-oriented organizations. They talk about the fact that we have a labor shortage in Minnesota, and immigrants are key to filling a lot of jobs. And if you look at the material that includes a number of police agencies across the state, they talk about the practical effect of ensuring that folks are well-trained and are properly licensed. So there's a roadway and public safety element. There's also an insurance element to that, too, of course, to make sure that folks are licensed so they can get insurance. So there's a roadway safety. They also speak to the overall public safety component when people fear any contact with public safety officials, public safety authorities, then things are going to occur in our community, our larger community, that the police may never be made aware of. And that's not good for any of us when people are being victimized by crimes and or have information that the police should be aware of, and yet they fear that contact with our police. That degrades everyone's public safety. And then if you look to the faith community and religious organizations who speak to the fact that there are people living here that are our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our family members themselves. And Representative Hornstein and I have been to a number of gatherings throughout the South Metro where people tell their stories of going to work in fear, taking their children to school in fear, heart-wrenching stories of fathers being lost to deportation, families being torn apart. There are about, I think it's estimated between 11 and 13 million people here that don't have the benefit of appropriate documentation. And they are working in all of our work sites. They're shopping in all of our stores. They're paying taxes. And they're contributing to our community in a myriad of ways. And absolutely no one, not even the chief executive, is discussing sending all of those people out of the country. And in fact, if anyone was talking about that, that would represent a huge economic hit and a hit in other ways to our businesses and our tax structure, et cetera. So they're here, and they're our neighbors, and they're our friends. And this is a small measure to make sure that they can go about their lives in a fairly normal fashion that benefits all of us.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to share during the House hearing that we had on this, I come at this as kind of a purely selfish reasons. You know, it doesn't really matter what somebody's immigrant status is when they have a 3,000-pound projectile coming at you. And having lost some family members at two car crashes, you know, I really see this as a public safety issue. Being a new mom, I want to ensure that when I'm driving my five-month-old daughter around that the other folks on the road know the rules of the road, are going to operate this 3,000-pound vehicle safely, correctly, and then also if something were to happen, that they are insured and are able to get insurance so that, you know, I can get a new car if need be or injuries that are taken care of. So, you know, that's just kind of how I look at this as it's a public safety issue and maybe viewing it in selfish eyes as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. Representative Kadke.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. As we look through especially the law enforcement side of this, I was Mayor of Shakopee for two terms before I came here and started working on this issue back at that time, and just seeing from a law enforcement and public safety perspective how incredibly important someone having a driver's license is, but also the humanitarian perspective that Senator Dibble and everyone has talked about so far. I just want to draw everyone's attention to, in the packet of law enforcement, both the Scott County Sheriff, so my sheriff, and our Shakopee Police Chief have written letters in here, and I'm really proud of that because it took extreme fortitude for them to do this in our community, which is not a liberal bastion by any sense of the imagination, and but they know it's the right thing to do for our communities and for public safety. And so I'm proud to be one of the first authors on this bill and help to get it to where it is today. And so if any senators in this room or any other senators would like to talk about it and talk through the issues, I've got a great hour drive from home to here every day and from here to home every day, and so I get the chance to call constituents back
hands
and have
free.
These.
He calls them hands free.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that delineation there. But to have conversations with people about this issue, and it always is, and the concerns with it are generally based in fear and misinformation. And once people understand what this bill actually does and how powerfully it can help people and help everyone, not just undocumented immigrants, and makes a huge change in how we can function in the state of Minnesota from a workforce perspective and from all over. So those of us with diverse communities like mine and like Senator Hall's and people who need workforce like Senator Rarick's districts and things like that, it's really important that if you have questions that we can talk about these things. And so if you have questions you want to talk about, I would love to sit down and chat through them. So just wanted to put that out there. If anybody wanted to best understand who hasn't sat through these, where the bill is and what it actually does. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Tapke. Is there any additional comments or discussion? Good. I appreciate the committee taking a little time to talk about this very, very important issue, and I know there's some folks that are have set up shop just off to the side of the state office building and in a tent, and I'm sure that if you want to stop by and visit with them, they would welcome that, and they can tell you some of their stories and talk to you informally about their concerns about the driver's license issue and their advocacy for this particular bill. So I think some of those folks are here, and I imagine they'll be here between now and the end of session, as they've been every year. This has been something that's been before the legislature for a while, and I think, again, the urgency is there. Again, to summarize the workforce and business arguments, the moral arguments, and, of course, the public safety arguments for this bill, I find very compelling. So with that, members and Mr. Chair, we'll move on in our agenda, but I appreciate the committee taking some time to discuss this, to hear some of the stories I brought, and to carefully review the documents in your packet. So thank you again, Mr. Chair. Good. Well, our second agenda item relates to completing our business that we had before us yesterday, which involves a proposal that came from Senator Newman. We adopted some of the same provisions, quote-unquote same provisions, last week. We're starting now on similar. And I guess I would classify this, Mr. Chairman, as similars that are pretty much the same. I guess there's two categories, I think, of similar provisions. Some have presented a little bit more of a challenge, and we'll get into that a little bit later, how we intend to handle that moving forward. You want to, perhaps we could go through this. We've done this before already. I believe, Mr. Chairman, that you have one more item potentially to bring today related to the autism parking. Is that correct? Or did you want to do that a different day as well?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may, I would suggest that we do this maybe in three separate motions so that we can just help keep things clear for our members. And then after today, you know, when we are done, then I will speak to, you know, maybe the hearing coming up tomorrow, where I think we can bring some provisions forward, have a bit of an explanation to resolve questions that members might have, and then I think we're going to be able to adopt, hopefully, some more provisions. But for purposes of today, there is the same, or I'm sorry, similar provisions for consideration list dated May 13th at 12:19 p.m. I'd like to try and adopt that list in one slate motion just to save us time. There is the House provisions from the skinny omnibus that I would like to make in one motion, and those are on the House provision offer from May 11th, 2019, items 48 through 53. And then if I could, by a separate motion, try to pick up and resolve the issues regarding the emergency contacts and the mental health identifier that isn't on in any of our documents, and that would have to be by a motion.
Mr. Okay.
Representative Patsky.
I don't believe we have the same documents that you're reading off of, Senator. I have one from 5:14 at 7:17 a.m. and one from 5:13 at 5:51 a.m. This one's from 5:14 that was just handed out. I'm not sure which one you're...
I have a 5:13.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, there's a couple of them floating around.
There's a lot of them floating around.
Yeah. The document, Mr. Chair, if I may, that I'm referring to is the document that we looked at yesterday and did not adopt. If you saved it, it was in your packet at one point, and it's dated May 13th, 2019, prepared by Senate Counsel, Research and Fiscal Analyst, dated May 13th at 12:19 p.m.
And I do have that one.
I got that one.
Okay.
And if any members do not, that would be the version I would want to work off of. Any members don't have it, we'll see that you get a copy.
That next one here.
That next one.
So members, just
one sheet.
Again, if you can sift through your packets, it is titled House File 1555 Omnibus Conference Committee, similar provisions 5:13:19, and the time tag is 12:19 p.m. I will say that the other document is almost identical, so, you know, it's probably the same thing. But I think Mr. Howe has some copies. Okay.
The same.
Can you just check?
Yeah. I think it's the same as what we
just want to make sure everyone on the House side has the information they need. Representative
Torkelson. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Newman mentioned that he might try to do these all in one motion. I have done some homework on the item that I had said I'd do homework on, and I do have a very minor amendment to make. I don't know how you want to handle that.
Mr. Chair.
Do you have a copy of the amendment?
I do.
Distribute?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Senator Newman.
If this is a matter that is going to require a change, and Representative Torkelson did talk to me about this, perhaps we could pull that item out and pick that up tomorrow when we engage in the provisions that are going to take some discussion. If possible, I would like to keep this just clean as to the items that we are going to adopt without discussion and without amendments. I do understand what Representative Torkelson has in mind, and I I think it is going to engage some discussion with the committee, likely supported, but it's going to engage in some discussion. And if we open that door, then we're going to open up a whole lot of other doors.
Chair Newman, thank you. I agree. This is a, you know, a fairly over the years, anything involving truck weight changes has been an item of debate. And I think I would also concur with Chair Newman that we might want to just put this particular one off. I know there's many stakeholders for this particular provision. I would want them to have some time to look at the amendment. I have no problem with you, you know, introducing it today, but I think we should put off action on that item until we've had a chance to discuss the amendment. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are we talking about adopting everything on the sheet without discussion? Going through and just, or are we going to go through line by line or provision by provision? I guess I'm just looking for some process clarification.
Mr. Chair.
Well, I think that, thank you, Representative Cagle. I think we should, I think this has been, we've gone over this in the side by sides, but I think that we could have staff explain each of these. But I think at this point, we will amend whatever motion is before us on this similar provisions and probably at this point take out the agricultural products and special permit and defer that till tomorrow. That would be part of the motion. But to your process question, Representative Cagle, I do think it would be appropriate for staff just one more time before we vote to just quickly go through each of these provisions and briefly so people know what's before us and that the public also knows what we're voting on. Representative Cagle.
Will we have opportunities to ask questions about
this?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. With that, so just to review, we'll do three separate motions. The first will be related to the document we're working off of now. The second will be concerning the five lines of the omnibus policy bill from last year that we're in agreement on. And then we have the final separate item related to emergency contacts and mental health. So that's the plan. Mr. Burris, do you want to start walking us through this? Some of these are House and some are Senate, so we'll probably go back and forth between Council. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, the first of the provisions on the similar provisions for consideration document, again, this is the document that is dated 5/13/2019 with a timestamp of 12:19 p.m. The first of these would be taking Senate sections 4 and 5 on allowing for data sharing between the Metropolitan Council and the Department of Human Services regarding the Metro Mobility Program. And the second provision is a Senate-only provision.
Mr. Chair and members, the second provision is Senate section 17 and 124 found on R71 and R164. This is the dedicated fund expenditure report, and it would require MnDOT and DPS to submit a report in odd-numbered years that includes the expenditures and transfers in and out of the Trunk Highway Fund and the HUTDF. Section 124 is sort of an interim report that's due in 2020.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, the next item is a legislative turnback, route turnback of Trunk Highway 156. This is found on pages R71 and R169. And that's House Sections 9 and 129. Section 9 is a conforming change, and the core authorization for the turnback is found in Section 129.
Mr. Chair and members, the next provisions are Senate Sections 62 and 66, found on R99 and R102, and these have to do with large vehicles like semis in roundabouts. The first provision allows a large vehicle to deviate when it's going through a roundabout, deviate from the lane when it's going through a roundabout. And the other says that if two large vehicles are going through a roundabout at the same time, the vehicle on the right has to yield to the vehicle on the left.
And Mr. Chair and members, the Next sections are would be House language, sections 69 and 126, and this would provide for additional individuals to operate a motor vehicle that has window tinting based on a medical statement. Section 69 is the core provision, and there's a phase-in implementation period that's found in section 126. The next provision is a House-only provision, section 70, found on page R110, and this would allow for towing of two trailers under some circumstances. Following that is the agricultural special products permit that sounds like is being delayed to tomorrow. After that is another House-only provision. This is found on page R131, section 98, and would create an exemption on hours of service requirements in intrastate transportation involving utility construction materials being transported within a radius of 50 miles from the site.
Mr. Chair and members, the next is Senate section 93, found on page R134. And this provision requires the Commissioner of Public Safety to submit an annual report to the legislature on the Vehicle Crimes Unit of the State Patrol and revenue generated by that unit. The next several sections are Senate sections 94 to 96 and 98 to 116, and they appear on a whole variety of revisor or R pages, so I won't repeat all those there. These are the airport zoning provisions that we've talked about that allow that dictate how local governments near airports zone and whether they provide a standard set of regulations that local governments can adopt, or there is a process to do sort of customized zoning regulations.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, the next provisions are House-only sections 123 and 124, found on page R-164. This would extend a pilot program for community destination signs in two harbors, extending the program as well as when the legislative report would be due.
Mr. Chair and members, I apologize. I want to go back to airport zoning just to be clear. And the airport zoning provisions also include Senate Section 142, Paragraph C, and Section 143, and I neglected to mention those before. The next set of sections are Senate Sections 126 and 127, both on R-165, and this allows the cities of Minneapolis and Burnsville to adopt an ordinance that prohibits jake braking on a highway in each of their respective cities.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, on page R-168, House Section 128 would authorize a conveyance of a portion of state rail bank property.
Mr. Chair and members, the next are Senate Sections 130 and 140 on R-169 and R-176, and these have to do with the Calhoun Isles Condo Association in Minneapolis. The first provision directs an office within the Bureau of Mediation Services to facilitate a conversation between the Calhoun Isles Condo Association and the Met Council relating to issues surrounding Southwest Light Rail, and the other provision requires a vibration study on the Calhoun Isles property. The next is Senate Section 128 on page R-170. This is requires MnDOT to post signs for the state academies for the deaf and blind, and requires MnDOT to post the signs using existing resources. And finally, on R-177, Senate Section 142, Paragraph E, repeals the expiration date of the Mississippi River Parkway Commission.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel and Mr. Burris. Are there questions or discussion about any of these provisions from committee members? Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm just kind of curious about the Minnesota State Academy signs. There was a fiscal note I saw that would be about between $25,000 and $28,000, and I thought that from what, and I'm sorry, my first time on a conference committee, so not quite sure how it all goes, but
questions are legitimate.
And so I guess my understanding was that some of the similar provisions for consideration, we weren't having any fiscal impact. So I'm just kind of curious about with that fiscal note of $25,000 to $28,000 for those signs, why we're including this in for consideration today.
Chair Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To that particular provision, I am not aware that there are any fiscal implications to that matter. Senator Jasinski is very familiar with the bill, as I believe that is his bill, and perhaps we could recognize him. But if, I will agree, if there are fiscal implications to that bill, I will agree to strike it from this list for further discussion in the future. But perhaps, Mr. Chair, you could inquire of Senator Jasinski on that issue.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and Senator Newman. The real question is, we just believe that they can assume those within their normal signed budget. So it's not a typical fiscal note out there. It's just going to be assumed within their fiscal budget for signage across the state on all their signage highways. A reminder, the Minnesota Academies is totally funded by us at the legislature, so any dollar amount that we make them pay comes out of another fund just within. So we're, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul is the issue. In the academies, they're on a very tight budget, and their funding concerns are always of concern. So my recommendation was, I believe, two signs out of the MnDOT's funds for signage across the street would not have a huge fiscal impact. So that's why I was asking for it at previous comments or previous meetings. So those are my comments on the change.
Representative Papke.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Yeah, I would like to concur with Representative Cagle. I don't have an issue with any of these items that are on this list whatsoever. But there were, in the offer that we sent over on, I think it was from Saturday, that is posted, so thank you very much for doing that, Chair Hornstein. But in that offer, there were hardly any of the items that we had put forward from the House side and from the shared side that were accepted into what we're talking about today. So it just concerns me that we're not talking about any of those issues when many of those had zero and some of them had very little impact, like the salt and snow removal and different things like that, that have the same type of impact that Senator Jasinski just discussed. And so I would like to make sure that we're not holding two different standards as we're looking at things. And again, I have no issue with any of these items that are on the list. I just want to make sure that as we're going through this process, that we're making sure not to have it be one-sided with what we're adopting and when we're adopting it.
Senator Newman has a response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representatives, I am not in any way trying to impose a double standard here. I did not believe that there was any fiscal impact with respect to this provision. You have raised a question. I have no objection to withdrawing that particular provision, and it will be included in a later discussion when we are discussing financial issues. So when I make my motion, the Minnesota State Academy signs provision will not be included in the motion today.
Thank you, Senator Newman. So, but just for clarity, it's very likely this will be included in another basket of provisions that have some fiscal impacts.
And
Representative Tapke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have no problem with adopting the Academy signs today, as long as Senator Newman, we're all working under the same assumption and umbrella that there are more items that will be coming back that will continue discussions, and that this is not the end of the discussions, that we're going to continue going, and that there's a lot more work that we have to do after these set of three things are adopted today.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
There are a number of items that we do intend to come forward with and have further discussion on in upcoming meetings. But again, I am going to withdraw this because I am very uncomfortable with the notion that perhaps I am trying to impose a double standard, which is something that I am definitely not trying to do. Consequently, I will not include the subject portion in the motion that I make today.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Just for Representative Tapia, just a point of clarification. I don't know if it's specifically known. I know it wasn't the Senate side. I didn't get heard in the House, or the comments weren't there. So our state academies, the state colleges, the MnDOT does put signs up for those at no cost. They absorb that in their department funds. High schools, which this technically Minnesota Academies is a high school, although it's a state high school. It's a real kind of a unique situation. This is the only one in the state, I believe, unless someone from MnDOT wants to correct me, the Minnesota Academies is only the only state-run high school versus the colleges that are state colleges. Those signages are put up by MnDOT at their cost. So I'm just trying, I think that's what is fair for that, that should be done. I'm not trying to bring up any fiscal note, and that's why the discussion was, typically if there's a sign request, it has to be done by the applicant to do that. And the Minnesota Academies are really a very, very unique, one in the whole state that falls into this. So that's why I asked for it to be done, and that's why we're asking for it to be funded by MnDOT. So I just want to clarify that. I'm fine taking it out now, but I just want to make sure that you knew that this is a very, very unique situation for the Minnesota Academies.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Senator Jasinski. So, members, are there any other questions before I will call on Senator Newman to move these items that we discussed? Is there any discussion on any of the items? Any further discussion? Hey, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Referring again to the similar provisions dated May 13th, 2019, so that the members can follow. I would move that we adopt the Senate provisions on sections 4 and 5. I move that we adopt the Senate provisions on sections 17 and 124, that we adopt the House provisions on sections 9 and 129, that we adopt the Senate positions on sections 62 and 66, that we adopt the House provisions in sections 69 and 126, that we adopt the House position on section 70, the House position on section 98, the Senate position on section 93, the Senate position on sections 94, 95, 96, and sections 98 through 116, that we adopt the Senate position on sections 142, parentheses C, section 143, that we adopt the House position on sections 123 and 124, that we adopt the Senate position on sections 126 and 127, that we adopt the House position on section 128, that we adopt the Senate position on sections 130 and 140, and that we adopt the Senate position on section 142E.
Thank you, Senator. That's very consistent with our discussion. So is there any further discussion on the first Newman motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, if you would refer to the document titled House File 1555, Transportation Omnibus Conference Committee, in the lower right-hand corner. It is time-stamped May 11th, 2019 at 3:43 p.m. That is the document that I am looking at. And I'm going to refer to page 3 regarding some House provisions. Just kind of waiting to see if everyone has that document in front of them.
Members, again, to review, this is actually one of the House offers that was sent on Saturday at 3:43. House File 1555, House Offer 1, dated 5/11/19. Does everyone have that? Okay, good. And I think if it's okay with you, Senator Newman, we could have council just quickly go over these provisions before we vote on them.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that would be a good idea. And regarding item number 49, there is one of our conferees that has some questions on that issue, so I would suggest that we pull that one out for purposes of today, pick it up in a future hearing. So if Mr. Burris would talk about items 48, 50, 51, 52, 53.
And thank you very much, Chair Newman, and perhaps Mr. Burris, as you're going through this, you could maybe also reference or explain briefly some background about the item that we are deferring. We're not deleting that. We're simply deferring it to a future discussion. So, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, so the I'll start actually with that last part, if I might. The deferred items are found on line 47 of the document. This is a series of MnDOT agency policy provisions that were proposed last year. It authorizes a number of turnbacks, increases a dollar amount on direct negotiation when bidding would not be required, provides for a couple of different motor vehicle dimension and weight limit changes for specific types of vehicles. Moving into then the provisions for consideration at this point today, line 48 makes a series of changes on motor vehicle lighting and school bus visibility that include some technical restructuring, authorizing school buses to have a changeable electronic messaging sign on the back, and centralizing some lighting provisions. Then section 49 is the farm work driving permit modifications. This has changes to the area, the radius where the permit can be utilized, as well as providing for any type of farm, however organized, to be included in, as far as somebody being able to obtain the permit to in relation to that farm.
Just 1 second, Mr. Burris. So just so members know, that is the one we're deferring. Correct. Okay, you can proceed to line 50.
Mr. Chair, members, line 50 is section 23 from the House file language, and this would modify the reporting frequency for a transportation economic development report that's created by the Department of Transportation, so that reporting would not be necessary if there's not been funding for the program. Line 51, section 57 of the House file language provides for a waiver from for school bus delivery. And then section line 52, section 58 allows for use of regional rail authority funds in Anoka to for those reserve funds to go towards operations of the North Star commuter rail.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Burris. Do members have questions about any of these provisions? So it looks like we're adopting, or the motion would be to adopt lines 48 and then 50 through 52.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yes,
I apologize if I missed it. With the changeable signage on the school bus, could you explain that? I missed it, or I didn't see it, and I apologize. But what is the intent of that for school buses? What are they changing in their signage?
Good question. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, so there are a couple of pieces kind of getting a little bit farther into the detail on the school bus visibility provisions. There are sort of two parts to that, and sorry if I was unclear on this. One part is on being able to use an electronic sign on the back of the bus. Under current law, there's static text that a bus is required to display, and under the proposed change, a sign would be able to be mounted on the back of the bus with specific phrasing, and that's specified in the language. Things like caution, stopping, unlawful to pass. The underlying concept is that when the bus is actually stopping to load and unload students, the messaging could then pop up saying at that time, stop, don't pass, caution, something along those lines, as additional visibility to indicate that that students are being loaded and unloaded. The other piece of kind of core piece of the provisions around this proposal is to allow for supplemental warning systems, and this would increase the visibility of school buses by adding additional lights and potential flashing sequences, essentially.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Answer my question.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. Any further questions? These are exactly the kinds of things that we need fleshed out a little bit here if people want more detail. Yes, Representative Tapke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am just curious as to why are we not including line 47 in this one as well? Is there anything objectionable in that or fiscally impactful on that one?
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tapke, that or those provisions contain items where some of the conferees from the Senate wish to have a further discussion on, and so that would be one of the items that we would discuss at a further date. What we're trying to do is today is just adopt provisions that in reality have no controversy. So that would be something that we would be coming back to. The same as the one on line 49. I don't think that we're going to have a big, long discussion about it, but one of our conferees has got some questions and would like to have a bit of a conversation on it. So that's the reason.
Thank you.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a mechanics question. I've been trying to kind of follow where some of these are. The language is actually located. The section numbers that are listed on page 3 of this document, what bill do they refer to?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, those section numbers refer to House File 1623, the first engrossment. There is language that same language was actually also distributed and discussed or walked through yesterday, and that was the Senate Amendment SCH 1555A43. There's that one provision that was just mentioned, the restricted license for farm work is also included in that amendment, but otherwise it's the same language from that A43 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Burris, but the section numbers don't match up. That's what's confusing for a poor old farm boy like me.
Representative Ferguson, I totally get this concern, and maybe for members of the committee and others. This amendment that came from the Senate yesterday are actually provisions from, you know, what we refer to as the skinny omnibus. I like calling it omnibus select, but it is, you know, these are provisions from last year's vetoed policy bill or policy and finance bill. You know, I think we're trying to sift through those and see which ones could be adopted in our conference committee report. So that's why it's not in, you know, it has been vetted, but it isn't in any of our documents. So that, I totally understand why you would have an issue with that. But so that amendment really comes from those. Am I correct on that, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. And if members, this is the A43 amendment that was put in your packet, I believe, yesterday. It is still applicable with respect to all of the provisions on page 3 that we have been referring to, with the exception of the farm work driving permit. If you prefer, we can withhold offering those until tomorrow and cover the driving, farm work driving permit, and then we will have everything, I think, in place with respect to the A43 amendment. But, Mr. Chair, it's up to you. Perhaps it's just easier if we wait and adopt these tomorrow. That's fine with me.
Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. Do I look confused? That's because I am. It's just, as we're sifting through these,
yeah,
be nice if the section number is actually matched with the bill that's before us, and it doesn't, and it's just irritating.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, what we were trying to accomplish, Representative Torkelson, is to pull some non-controversial items out of what Chair Hornstein refers to as the skinny omnibus bill, and it just felt appropriate that we would try to pick out some of the items that maybe we want to include in our transportation bill. If there's an objection to it, I won't make the motion.
I think, thank you, Senator Newman. I think just while I don't see these as hugely controversial, I think just in the interest of, since we do have time, we're not under any immediate pressure to close up this committee now. It may be just in the interest of the stakeholders and the public and other committee members. It may be prudent just to put this off till tomorrow or a future day. So it sounds like, it's a very, it's a legitimate issue that you raised, Representative Torkelson, and I think we'll just withdraw that motion for now. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Hornstein, and that's agreeable to me. We can talk about this or that issue tomorrow. There are two remaining issues that we could pass today, depending on what the members desire to do. One involves an emergency contacts issue on driver's licenses. That was Senator Isaacson's bill in the Senate. I don't know who carried that bill in the House.
Chair Newman, that would have been Representative Moeller.
Representative Moeller, okay. And members, you can find that at R-117 and 118, sections 79 and 81. That is an issue that Chair Hornstein and I had talked about and felt that it was a non-controversial item and that we would move towards passing that. However, I've been informed when we got here today that there is lacking in the current version a Tennyson warning. So I would propose that I will not offer that today and have available the a proper amendment to discuss it tomorrow and put it on the list for tomorrow. That leaves us then with the final issue, and that would involve the mental health identifier, and that involved folks who are licensed to drive and have autism. This would have been Senator Dreheim's bill in the Senate. Again, I don't know who had that in the House. You would find it, I believe, at R-118, Section 80. And if members have no objection to passing that, which I believe is a non-controversial item, after discussion, I would make the motion.
Okay, thank you, Chair Newman. And just for the House members, we did hear this bill and pass it out. It was Representative Vogel's bill. Representative Vogel carried this in the House.
Gotcha.
So...
Section number? I'm sorry, we were
80.
Got distracted.
80.
Section
80.
Thank you.
It is this bill.
Mr. Chair, it's on R-118, Section 80. Autism spectrum or mental health identifier.
Members, is there discussion of this? I think, are you formally moved? We want to formally move this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we adopt the House position on Section 80.
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very important provision within the disability community. I've done a lot of work with law enforcement on de-escalation training for individuals with autism and related conditions, and so being able to have access to this information can be really important when you are interacting with people either as witnesses, as victims, and as suspects as well.
Thank you for that, Representative Richardson. Is there any further discussion to this motion, this provision? Okay. Do you want to restate the motion, and then we can vote?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt the House position on Section 80.
Discussion? Further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. And so with that, members, I think we have concluded our business today in terms of motions and discussion. Senator Newman, you have the gavel tomorrow, and maybe if you wanted to, I alluded a little bit to some of the work that you and I and staff will need to do between now and tomorrow. Do you have a thought about the time of convening and some of the provisions we might be entertaining?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regarding the time, I believe that we'd be looking at 3 or 3:30. I can't say for sure at this point, but... you know, kind of be on the alert for right about that time. It sort of depends on what time we get off the floor.
Yeah.
Regarding the provisions that we pick up, I would again request that we do not entertain fiscal or financial issues, but there are a number of issues such as the farm issue that Representative Torkelson was talking about. There is the emergency contacts issue that I think we should add to the list. And there's going to be a number, the wheelchair issue, things of that nature that we should maybe talk about a little bit, and having had a discussion and help each other understand where we're coming from, I think we could move pretty quickly to passing those provisions. So, and if you have specific sections that you would like to pick up and talk about tomorrow, please let me know, and we'll go through them. And what I'm going to try and pick out is the things that I think that we could resolve fairly quickly with a short discussion and get them passed. The one last thing that I would then ask, and I don't know if this would take a motion or not, but I think the reviser would appreciate it if we could get to the reviser the provisions that we have passed to date. They will very soon be overwhelmed. And they have requested that, if possible, we get our past sections to them. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if that takes a motion or not. I wouldn't think so. I have my staff shaking their head. So I would simply request, Mr. Chair, that we authorize our staff to get those sections that we have adopted to the reviser.
Duly noted. So, good. Well, with that, Representative Perkelson.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if it's feasible to post amendments. We talked about an amendment earlier, and you mentioned having the public having a chance to view it.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to view it when it's stuck in my folder, can those amendments be posted?
Senator Newman says yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, members, is there any additional comments or ideas, suggestions? Okay. Well, with that, members, we're adjourned till likely 3:30 tomorrow.